Good evening. And we've been going through Romans. I want to try and get through the 39th part and see if we can get ready for 40. But we're in getting into now into the end of chapter 11 and talk about the olive tree and Israel's future, bright future, and getting into Christian living as a result of our having been saved by the lessons in Romans 1 through 5 and verse 11. And then starting in verse 12 of chapter 5 through to chapter end of chapter 8, verse 39, we learn about our resources, that we're filled with the Spirit. We have the Spirit, that we have the inner man. Not much talk about that in the Old Testament, the inner man, the living by the Spirit within our inner man, not living by and going after the promptings and urges of the flesh. So we're starting to get into, well, we did talk about chapter 9, 10, and 11, which is why this makes a difference. We're not saved by Israel's gospel anymore. We're saved by the way Paul started out the book, Romans 1 through 5. Anyway, we get jump over. No, we don't jump over. We considered it and handled it, Romans 9, 10, and 11. But we're getting now to 12, and so we'll be ready for that change. It's not talking about how to be saved, be good to be saved, or anything like that. It's talking about the way the Spirit prompts us to live when we follow the Spirit. So that's several chapters now about Christian living. But getting into that, we've been talking about Israel. God, in the future, will enable and empower Israel to trust and to obey God's voice and His commandments. And at that time, God will do all for Israel, just like He does all for us now in the body of Christ. At that time, the body of Christ will have already been caught up to be with the Lord, and then God pours out His Spirit, the Spirit of grace and of supplication upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Israel. But God will, at that time, after we're in heaven, God will complete Exodus 19, verse 6. And you shall be, you being Israel, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. There it is in plain words. It's Israel's covenant, Israel's promise. And that'll make Israel a kingdom of priests to God. Then they're going to see, we'll go through the verses now, what'll happen after that or as a result of that. Zechariah 8. Starting in verse 18, it's going to come to pass. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, not me, but Zechariah speaking in the scripture here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth I was just wondering if I left part of that out, but it does have the fourth month at the beginning there, and then the fifth and seventh and tenth implied that it's the month, tenth month. It shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Verse 20, Zechariah 8:20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let's go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. And to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of the 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Well, remember now this whole epistle. Paul is talking to Romans about Israel, and especially in Romans 9, 10, and 11. But he's talking to Romans in general, to all that be in Rome. And he breaks it down as to who he's speaking to in each part, what particular group he's speaking to, whether it be Gentiles, Jews, unsaved, the Greeks. Anyway, take a look at Romans 11, verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they, talking about Israel, they are enemies for your sakes. Your sakes would be these Gentiles that he's talking to. But as touching the election or the choice, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So it's like talking about two different realms there. The gospel, believe it and be saved, or the choice, make the choice. So Israel were enemies for the sake of the Romans that Paul is writing to, because Romans 11:11 says, I say, have they stumbled that they should fall? Is that why they stumbled? That they should fall? God forbid, the verse goes on. God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. So it's through Israel and Israel's fall, actually. The salvation had been through Israel's rise, had been prophesied that way. But here we see it's through Israel's fall that salvation came to those Gentiles that could provoke Israel to jealousy, as the verse says. That's why they are enemies for your sake. They, the Jews, are enemies for your God-fearing Romans' sake. During a dispensation of the gospel, anyway, that occurred. That happened during that dispensing of the gospel. The initial finding out that God had a different way to save people now, since Israel was gone. God wasn't deserting us. He sent his grace to save us by the gospel of the grace of God. Well, during the dispensation of the gospel, it was the gospel of Christ. And it went first to those Jews and those that blessed the Jews. We read in Romans 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And that's what Paul had been saying all through this chapter, isn't it? That those promises to Israel were not just made to some segment of Israel, natural Israel or religious Israel, spiritual Israel. They're made to Israel. And certainly not to us. They were made to Israel. Mankind tries to dissect things, to invent their own way, or to save the Bible from telling lies, they think. But the Bible doesn't tell lies. We just have to believe what it says, and then it makes sense. Then we understand it. God will keep all his promises to Israel. He has made them to Israel, and he will keep them to Israel. The gifts and the calling that Paul's talking about in the context of Romans 11:29 are the promises that God made to Israel. God pledges to keep all those promises, to keep them to Israel. Israel is the recipient. Paul was talking to Rome's synagogue Gentiles, as he says here in Romans 11:30, for as in times past you have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, Israel's, unbelief. So there you've got branches being grafted in. And we read it just a minute ago in Romans 11:11, through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. It was not until after Israel fell by stoning Stephen that Christ apprehended Paul on the road to Damascus. So these Gentiles that he's writing to obtained faith through Israel's unbelief. And also, he said it again in Romans 11:15, for if the casting away of them, now he doesn't say that they were cast away yet. This is Romans, the book, the Epistle of Romans, which was written in Acts 20, the Acts 20 time period, and they're not cast away until Acts 28. But Paul is saying, if the casting away of them, in fact, at the beginning of this chapter, Paul said in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people. In Acts 20, they hadn't been cast away yet. His people were Israel. But he said in here in verse 15, Romans 11:15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, in other words, not just Israel anymore, but the whole world reconciled, with salvation made ready and available unto all, as it says in Romans 3:21 and 22. In fact, let's read them. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And there, right there, being witnessed by the law and the prophets is one reason for the dispensation of the gospel. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Anyway, let's get back to chapter 11, verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? Another promise of the future blessing of Israel. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Resurrection. Already Paul is revealing that at some point in the future, from Acts 20, when he wrote Romans, Israel will be cast away. He talks about the casting away as a fact. It's going to happen. But it had not yet occurred by then. Through study, we find that the casting away of Israel does occur in Acts 28, verses 25 through 29. So we see that the Gentiles are being starting to be brought into the picture here as being the gospel being presented to them. Not just Israel, in other words, the Gentiles too, but it starts off with those Gentiles that are in a particular position, a status that they gain by blessing Israel, coming to the synagogues, and being, they fulfilled the prophecy back there in Deuteronomy 32:21, I think it is. So let's continue on with Romans 11:31, and we'll go to the next verse here. Even so have these also now believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. So Israel had stopped believing. Those Roman proselytes called Jews had obtained mercy through faith, They had come to those synagogues to find the God of Abraham, and through their mercy, now Israelites can believe through the gospel that Paul was teaching them, preaching to them. Through Israel's fall and casting away, salvation was offered directly to Gentiles. Not Israel's salvation, though. It was a different plan, a different program the Lord had. The Lord can do His will, but He gives us the choice. The salvation was no longer through Israel. Israel was gone. They were not any longer in God's favor. They were lo am I. As it says in Hosea 1:9, God then said, God, call His name, lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. A statement of that particular time, a prophecy of what will happen in that particular time. And we know that God had been their God and will be in the future from other prophecies. So salvation was by grace, through faith at that point, instead of being by faith and works, as it had been with Israel's covenants. So these kingdom believers in Rome that had blessed Israel and been circumcised, many of whom had not yet heard of Jesus Christ, they had come into the olive tree of access to God through the commonwealth of Israel. And now, Paul was writing to them, teaching them his gospel. And that's Romans 3, verse 19, through Romans 5, verse 11. If you're in doubt, that's a full exposition of the gospel of salvation that Paul preached. Write down those references, Romans 3, 19, through Romans 5, 11. All of Romans is great. First five chapters, especially about salvation, and those are the core verses that I gave there. Read it a few times. Read it carefully and honestly. Let's go on. Romans 11, verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. All the Gentiles, all Israel, they had all been in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. So Paul is coming to the end of this series of considerations. He starts by explaining that all people need the gospel to be saved. And he explains what the gospel is. And he explains how to be saved. And then he talks about how to live godly, though, well, godly living, it's in that summary. That's the second part of that three-part summary that Paul gives in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. Growing as the first step in establishment is in being stabilized is to be saved, to believe the gospel, Paul's gospel. He says it's my gospel. He specifies which gospel. It's not just any gospel. It's what Jesus Christ revealed to Paul. And establishment starts with being saved. And then the second part is the preaching of Jesus Christ, specifically according to the revelation of the mystery. Not according to prophecy, but according to the revelation, according to the mystery that Christ revealed through Paul. And part of that, a good part of that, is that we have God's own righteousness imputed to us. And that's why we live. That's our way of living. It's what we are to choose. Choose to live by God's Spirit within us and the righteousness He produces in us. He will produce as we walk walk after the Spirit, put it that way, and not after the flesh. They're against each other. There's enmity there. So, And that's what we live by. We are to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We can reckon ourselves dead to sin because we are dead to sin. And so he goes through that whole section, Romans 5:12 up until Romans 8:39. And after that salvation section and starting Romans 9, verse 1, that we mentioned earlier, we've been considering for the past several lessons what happened to Israel. Why it is that we can't just come to God through Israel anymore. Why it is we can't just believe the gospel that Jesus preached to Israel while he was on earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why it doesn't work today for us. It wasn't to us. Read Matthew 10, 1 to 8. It's not to us. And it also tells why we can't just believe the gospel that Jesus gave to Israel's 12 apostles to preach to Israel. And he told them right out that they're not going to get outside the cities of Israel till the Son of Man comes back. So it was only preached to Israel. When they were scattered, that's a different matter. They did preach to Israelites outside of the boundaries of Israel, but it was still within the boundaries of the land. By the way, that's Matthew 10:23. Paul is showing that Israel used to be the way to come to God, but that Israel messed up. They sinned and kept rejecting God, rejecting their Messiah, and finally crucified him. And then the Holy Spirit was calling them back through the mouth of Stephen, and they stoned him. Speaking out, crying, it says, cried out with a loud voice against him. That's Romans or Acts 7, 57. So Paul points out how that Israel sinned. And then in chapter 11, Paul shows that Israel does have a future, a bright future. Right, but right then, those that were coming to God through Israel, from the nations, from the Gentiles, they needed to believe Paul's gospel and be saved immediately to a future in heaven. Instead of believing the kingdom gospel, waiting and enduring to the end, to in the end be saved to the land of Israel. Land, the land. That's on earth. At the coming of Christ, when Christ returns to earth, to reign on earth. So that's the difference. As we see in Romans 11:32, God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. And that is echoed by what he said earlier in Romans 3, verses 23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, we praise God for his wisdom. And next we get near to the end of the chapter, and we go on with verse 33, there are 36 verses here. We're at 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So, in summing it all up, it is as if to say God's ways are wise and they're unexpected. That they are way beyond what we could ever have thought of, or sometimes can even comprehend. Some of the doctrines, we just have to believe what the scripture says, and we don't understand how it can be yet. But we will, I think. And that's especially true if we are handicapped by having been told things that are half-truths, or people that didn't understand what the scriptures actually say told us things that contradict, especially if those people were parents or pastors, spiritual leaders in our past, trying to do what they thought, you know, they'd been told. That's the trouble. They're following men instead of following the scriptures, following God through the scriptures. So, Romans chapter 11, verses 34 and 35, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. God doesn't owe us anything. Who has given to God that God would owe him something? No, no. That's not the way it happens. That doesn't happen. God does not make a salvation covenant with all men. God doesn't owe us salvation. God doesn't owe it to us to get us out of hell. The salvation of God comes from the fact that God is love. He is the source and the supply of love. He does offer us salvation, and it's only by relying on God's grace given in the blood of the cross, the blood of Jesus' cross, and not by any covenant or obligation that God puts himself under. God has done it all for us. And we can see something by comparing here in verse 34. Look at, we'll compare Romans 11:34 with 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we have been given the mind of Christ. We that have gone through Romans 1 through 5, been saved, gone through Romans 6 through 8, living under the Spirit's leadership, yielding to the Spirit, we have been given the mind of Christ. We have been given the righteousness of Christ, according to Romans 3, 21 to 22, and Romans 4, 20 to 25. What about 2 Corinthians 5:21, a favorite verse of many? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We've been given a position in Christ, seated in the heavenlies, according to Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have his gift of his salvation. God has done it all. We receive. If we try to add our works to it and say, you did a lot, God, but wouldn't you be more pleased with me if I lived a holy life and counted on that also for my salvation? No, don't think that. That's polluting God's grace with your filthy rags. It's as unacceptable to God as any other religion is. You can't claim to be saved and then think you can still go to hell. That's not being saved. You can't claim to be saved and then think that if you don't live a good enough life or repent of every following sin that comes later in your life that you're no longer saved. That wasn't saved in the first place. If you think you're lost, well, if you can doubt, but if it's not God's salvation that lets you get lost or get into hell, whether you think you're going there or not. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we, talking about we who believe, who are saved, if we believe not, there's a change. They stop believing in the gospel that Christ died for their sins. If we believe not, God is faithful. Let me get that verse in front of us, get the clincher, the end of the verse here. It says, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. So, repentance is not what saves. It's the blood of Christ and your faith on him for salvation that saves from God's wrath. Whether they are sins that you committed 30 years ago, maybe, 5 days ago, or 10 years from now, they were all in the future when Christ died for them, and he did die for them. They're already died for. You had not committed one single sin at the time Christ died for all those sins. He died for all your sins. If you say that God will only forgive you if you repent, but that if you don't repent, he won't forgive you, then you're just saying that God's word is not true and that he will not save you by believing on Christ that he died for your sins. Believe him. Trust him. In Romans 4, verse 5, the Bible limits justification to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Well, let's close. We're going to go to the last verse, verse 36 in Romans 11. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So there's a well saying there, a benediction, a good ending of that whole section, the third section in Romans. All right, that's what we've got for tonight from Romans. Any comments or corrections, questions, whatever, raise your hand or put it in text. Thank you, brother.